How did this conference come about?
The two editors that are presenting at the conference started the motorcycle journal that the conference is based on, and that's in its 10th year. But we've been presenting at a national conference, the Popular Culture Association conference, probably since that time. And that's a huge conference, thousands of people, you know, everything that you can imagine that has to do with pop culture is there. So it's really hard for us in the last few years that we attended to really get an audience when, like, the Tolkien movies came out or some of the sci-fis came out. And so we just decided 1 year, 4 years ago now, well, why don't we try to host it ourselves? And Colorado Springs is affordable and got great writing and writing in terms of motorcycling. And it just happened. So it was fantastic. We had a great international turnout the first time.
Give a little background on the kinds of topics that people present on and write about for this journal. Again, just because I don't think that academic writing is the first thing people think about when they think about motorcycles.
Absolutely. It can fit into every discipline you can imagine. There are topics that have to do with gender in motorcycling and how the culture of motorcycling welcomes or positions women. There are topics in terms of fashion and how the fashion has changed as the motorcycle has changed technologically. There are issues with law. Helmet laws is the easiest one to talk about. There is the travel writing stuff. Our keynote, if anybody's really interested in motorcycling and travel, he was one of the main people that you would come across. Back in the 70s, he took his bike and basically went around the world and wrote a book about it.
That's Ted Simon.
That's Ted Simon. So there's the travel writing. There's the philosophical bent. People kind of talk about where you go in a meditative state when you ride your bike and how you pay attention to the environment, but you don't. It's very much kind of like the zen of motorcycle riding.
Where does that book figure in this history of writing philosophically or in a philosophical way about motorcycles?
Anybody who writes on that almost is forced to mention that book, even though when you read the book, it has very little to do with actual motorcycling, but you're almost forced to do it. Other topics include how to make motorcycling, because we're academics, relevant in the classroom. So for me, I teach technical writing, so bringing in manuals and looking at them and who are they geared for and how are they geared and are they accessible. One of the panels is actually looking at the DIY movement in motorcycling and what that means, starting from the book Soulcraft that was published a couple of years ago, that's challenging the notion that like shop class is leaving all the schools, and so we're losing a generation of DIYers. And so motorcycling is a avenue for people to kind of get back into this kind of DIY culture. So there's a ton of ways that motorcycling applies to academics.
So much has changed in the culture since the last conference that was here 4 years ago. There's so much more awareness of gender. How much has motorcycling culture also changed in the past 4 or 5 years?
Larger companies are definitely targeting women. The bikes are lower to the ground. The seats are smaller to accommodate a smaller frame. So you know the companies are paying attention to this new demographic.
Some of the titles of these talks are really great. Helmets, Hegel, and the Concept of Freedom. So tell me a little bit about this talk.
So this is one where he connects philosophy, the issue of the helmet laws, and individual freedom, and how the motorcycle culture fits in with how Plato, Aristotle, and now Hegel conceptualize freedom and how it applies to whether or not helmet laws are okay or not.
Commodification and resistance, theoretical implications drawn from a mobile recreational community. That's John Sumser.
He's talking again about freedom. He's talking about marketing and how products help shape these associations between what we own and how free we feel. And so motorcycles are such a complete and powerful symbol that encompasses freedom. And so you bet there's a whole marketing around that. So that's one of the things he talks about and how behaviors and products are linked.
One of the things that this conference brings up, obviously, is there is something antithetical about intellectualizing the motorcycle. How important did it feel to you to dive into all of these issues, the semiotics, you know, of motorcycles? And does it ever feel like a killjoy for you?
Not really. One of the reasons why I think it's important to look at any culture is for the ways that certain groups get privileged and certain groups get excluded or positioned in particular ways within that culture that make it difficult for people to enter it in ways that would allow them the freedom that others would enjoy. You know, the easy example is, you know, men and women in motorcycling have very different status and access and perspectives of how they can exist in that culture. So looking at that, calling attention to that is important, even from just the legal perspective. You know, I go back and forth in terms of helmet laws, but without data, without looking at the meaning to riders about what the helmet means to them, and who's talking about the laws and what are they basing their research on? Is it really accidents or is it just a notion of safety that doesn't have the support to say, well, everybody should wear a helmet or nobody should have to wear a helmet? So having people look at these cultures like motorcycling and pick them apart and call attention to the things that support the stereotypes or maybe challenge the stereotypes allows, I think, for it to become more accessible and also more relatable to people who might just think it's a bunch of gangs.
So for the average person here in the region, maybe motorcycle enthusiasts, maybe people who are just curious, if they come to the conference as they're invited to do, what are they going to find there? What might they get excited about this year?
There's a couple of cool things happening. We have a short film series, which is the first time that we're able to do that. They're really short films. We have a moderator that will talk about them, any kind of discussions and questions. So that's a fun and interesting part for people who enjoy films, maybe have an interest in motorcycling and want to see how those two connect. Some of it is artsy in terms of just the visual appeal of a motorcycle on screen. Some of it is just the practical side of having a motorcycle shop and what that looks like. We're also starting the conference with a documentary on women who ride. That's really interesting. Michelle Bauer Carpenter is the filmmaker. She's going to be there to show her documentary, which is also on PBS. And one of the women that she interviews is, I believe, the granddaughter of one of the original motor maids. So anybody interested in gender or how women actually were part of and started motorcycling clubs or groups, there's the historical bent, there's the legal bent, and then there's also just the general joy of travel riding that gets talked about in multiple forms. So I think there's a little bit for everybody, and it's very accessible. It's not heady academic speak.
Alexey Lysova, thank you so much for coming in. Have a good conference.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.